Welcome everyone, and thank you for listening to this episode of VaxHub Careers in Vaccine Development, the podcast that brings you insights into different and exciting professional development opportunities in this space. My name is Ludovica Vaiarelli. I'm the Outreach Coordinator of VaxHub, and it is my great pleasure to guide you through this journey. Today, I'm here with Dr. Sudhakshina Murden, who is a reader and associate professor in the School of Pharmacy at University College London. So she obtained her PhD in pharmacy at the University of London, and her expertise is in the field of vaccines and drugs. She focuses on formulation and delivery systems. So a very warm welcome to you, Sudhakshina, and thank you for being here today. I'm very excited to get to know you better and hear about your background and your research.
Thank you, Ludo.
So to begin, I think it would be very interesting to know a little bit about your research, what you're doing at the School of Pharmacy at UCL, and maybe how did everything start with your studies and your interest in vaccines?
So my interest in vaccines started during my PhD, when I was working on vesicles in water in oil gels. So basically I was making carriers for vaccines to increase the potency of the vaccine.
Right.
And what really made me want to stick with vaccines is the fact that it's preventive. So you can have one vaccine, maybe two vaccines, and then you're protected for life. Some vaccines you only need once and you're protected for life. So that's quite an amazing thing about vaccines.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear. So you are really working on developing delivery systems to sort of optimize the efficacy of vaccines and to make sure that we can deliver the antigens and the active ingredients of a vaccine at the right time in the right body.
Formulation.
Can you share a little bit more about your projects on vaccine delivery and formulations? What are you working on in terms of what kind of delivery systems are you studying and investigating?
Yeah, so my current research on vaccines, I'm working on polio vaccines. And so we make formulations that most vaccines are injected. Mm-hmm. But injection gives you a good response, but it doesn't give you immune response at the mucosal surfaces.
Yeah.
So I'm working on vaccines that we can give under the tongue.
Yeah,
because when you give vaccines under the tongue, you get a good immune response in the nose, in the mouth, in the lungs, in the gastrointestinal tract, and in the vagina.
Okay.
So basically, these surfaces are then protected. So if a microbe, if a microbe comes, if I inhale, let's say, breathe in or eat something, then my mucosal surfaces, these surfaces where the microbes first touch me, are protected. So therefore, it's a bit like putting the guards at the gate.
Yeah.
So then you don't get the infection because we are protected at the first contact, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's very interesting to research alternative methods to the injection method to deliver vaccines. So for example, sublingual vaccines and these new novel technologies that you could use to make vaccines more accessible worldwide. Can you share maybe a little bit about what do you think the future of vaccine formulation will look like, and just how do you feel about these new innovative delivery systems?
Yeah, so I think in future, more and more people are starting to work on mucosal vaccination, so needle-free,
yes,
not using the needle. And also using, there are quite a lot of new technologies now that the older vaccines don't use. So mRNA, adenovirus, virus-like particles, OMVs, exosomes, for example. So there will be lots of research on these new, there is already lots of research on these new carriers.
Yeah.
In addition to with the different mucosal surfaces.
Okay.
So I think in future, we will have more mucosal vaccines. The other thing we will have in future is we will have more local production. So for example, there is quite a lot of hesitancy right now in various parts of the world. And one way that people are less hesitant to take vaccines is if they know it's produced in their country or in their region, for example.
Yes.
So I think there will be more local production in different parts of the world.
Okay.
So I guess the technologies will have to become more portable.
Absolutely.
More distributed rather than in one place.
Yeah.
And also in future, there is a lot of research now trying to make vaccines more stable. So we won't need the very cold temperatures to keep the vaccine stable. So I'm hoping that technology will generate good results, and then we will be having vaccines that are stable at room temperature.
Okay, that's great to hear. I think with the COVID-19 pandemic and the need for vaccines, that it was a sudden need. We did all understand better the many challenges that are actually involved in the supply chain of vaccines. And so I think that this new delivery, not new, but not as common as the injection delivery systems, will be very, very much needed in the future.
Yeah.
You mentioned about vaccine hesitancy. Am I right in saying that you also do some work to engage with communities and sort of like make sure that people understand about vaccines and the importance of vaccines? We'd like to share a little bit about that, the work that you do.
Yeah. So vaccine hesitancy is a big problem. And what I've started doing is I train students, pharmacy students, to be champions, vaccination champions. So any healthcare student is not just going to be a healthcare practitioner.
Yeah.
They're also mothers, children, sisters, cousins, members of their community. And we know that the things that really work to address vaccine hesitancy is your doctor or your pharmacist or your nurse telling you vaccines are safe. And also the second thing is a member of your own community telling you to take vaccines. This is more effective than an outsider. And given that every student is a member of their own community, I train students to become vaccination champion and not just promote vaccination as a future pharmacist, but also as a cousin, as a sibling, as an aunt, as a neighbor.
Yes.
So this works because then it increases conversation about vaccines. And then people trust, obviously they trust their neighbor more than outsiders. So it can promote vaccination easier when we think of the identity, the multitude of identities of any one person.
Absolutely.
So our students have become vaccination champions, and we've been doing this for many years. And now vaccine hesitancy is in the curriculum, in the MPharm curriculum. And also I've worked with the local government. Mm-hmm. So my local government, I live in Bedford, they have community engagement offices, and this was specifically for COVID. They go out and talk to people who are hesitant. So we worked with them and we trained them. So we talked to them about the scientific basis of why the vaccine is good. We showed them how the numbers stack up. So for example, there are side effects, but they are rare. So once you show people the millions of doses of vaccines that have been given and the number of, for example, clots, then it's easier to persuade people to say, yeah, there have been 50 million doses given. Yes. And so many clots. So then we trained the community engagement officers on these, the scientific basis. And then when they went out to do their job in the community, they could have these tools.
Of course.
And that helped them, that boosted their confidence in promoting vaccination. So I'm working with vaccine hesitancy as well as developing vaccines. And you said what I see in future, I think this will become more and more common. The vaccine developers will engage with people about vaccine much earlier in the process.
Yes.
So as soon as we start thinking about making vaccines, we engage with just the lay public about, I'm doing this work on vaccine, making this vaccine. What do you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
So kind of like have that conversation with the public is really important. Yeah. To also, in a way, direct research and, as you said, really just increase the public understanding. Yeah. of vaccines.
Yeah, the public's understanding of vaccine and our understanding of what the public
learn absolutely thinks.
So it will be, yes, a bit of a co-creation. Yeah.
Okay, so what advice would you give to prospective students or just someone that would like to pursue a career in this space?
So my advice firstly is to do the degree in the subject they're really interested in. Because you can do lots of different degrees. You can do chemistry, you can do data science, you can do computer science, you can do biology, immunology, vaccinology, physics even, and work in the vaccine field. Because we need all these different disciplines to make vaccines, or mathematics even, yeah. So do the degree they are interested in, and then with that degree, they can work in the vaccine field.
Yes, so it's a great team effort. It's not just about vaccinologists, but it's really about combining all the skills and engineers as well for engineers, the mass production of vaccines.
Psychologists, social scientists. We need all these different disciplines to produce the vaccines and then ensure that they are taken up by people. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm. And if I may ask, what do you find most rewarding about your job?
The ability to think, let's say I have an idea and then I can try it and see if it works. I think that's really exciting, having ideas, trying it out, doing different experiments.
Exploring
it, working in collaboration. So there's so much we don't know, but then there are collaborators who will be able to do it or know it. So therefore, a lot of the work is collaborative and it's very rewarding. It's a very rich experience. This job that we do is a very rich work.
That's wonderful to hear. Mm-hmm. Maybe just a final question.
Can I just add something? Also, I think working at university, that one of the really good things is we work with students.
Yes.
Younger people, and that's quite rewarding. Yeah.
I was actually going to ask about a career in academia.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? Have you always worked in academia, or did you also have experiences in industry?
No, I have always worked in academia.
What are the goods about academia? Other than working with the students, what are the
we are in a way our own boss to a certain extent. We can choose what research to do. We can choose who we work with.
Yes.
Who we collaborate with. We can choose the time we work. So you can work all the time if you want, or be more
flexibility.
More flexible. Work to your best times. We do a variety of things. So we teach, we do research, we do a lot of other things, institutional citizenship, some administration. So I think the variety is quite good and it's quite refreshing. So.
Yes, it's a very dynamic environment. And
there's always new things to learn. Yes. Lots of new things happening, exciting things happening. It's quite hard too, but I guess every job is hard. But it's very rewarding, very rich and diverse.
That's so wonderful to hear. Thank you so much for sharing about your experience and your research. It was great having you here today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ludovica.
Thank you for listening to this episode of VaxHub Careers in Vaccine Development, the podcast that brings you insights into different and exciting professional development opportunities in this space. My name is Ludovica Vaiarelli. I'm the Outreach Coordinator of VaxHub, and it is my great pleasure to guide you through this journey. To delve deeper into the world of vaccine development and production through fascinating stories from researchers, academics, entrepreneurs, and policymakers, among others, be sure to also explore our other podcast episodes, as well as our summary video series on the same topic.